because you said Ms. Comedies is actually with you, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll recognize the fact that we do have a quorum, and I'll now check my time. It is 6:10. So I'll now ask that I guess we don't have to stand up, but we can sit down and pledge allegiance to the flag.
Wherever
the flag is.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which is standing
All right, thank you guys so much. And if we can, is there a way for us to share the agenda, Dr. Marinucci?
So, yes, let me pull it up. Hold on 1 second.
This is Mr. Owens. I'm sorry.
Who?
I'm teasing her. She didn't get it. I'm joking.
Please do not ever confuse me with her. Ever.
You know I have to joke around. I would never equate you there.
She's too far left.
She's way too, yeah.
Okay. Are you able to see it?
Not yet.
Why is it not showing? There we go. Now can you see it?
Yes, I
can.
Okay. We see it. I see it.
Alrighty, so we do have the quorum, and I'll recognize our members that are present. We have Mrs. Holmes, we have Dr. Fletcher, Mrs. Robinson, Mrs. Cummings, our new teacher rep for the rest of the board members. She's been voted in as the new teacher rep, replacing Ms. Tridente. And we have our head of school, Dr. Marinucci, and Mrs. Postles also, and Ms. Hudson here as well. Dr. Marinucci, could you tell us the name of the new CBOC?
It's Rhonda Bacu, B-A-C-U.
Okay. And so just for the board's information, Ms. Bacu is going to be the new rep for the Citizen Budget Oversight Committee. Mr. Riggs, the DOE oversight person for CBOC, is also going to, he wants us to include, it's just for board information, wants us to include our purchase card or our P card report at upcoming CBOC meetings. And so Dr. Marinucci, I guess, and the staff will work out how to present that report. So we're not going through every single purchase. As y'all can imagine, a school probably makes hundreds of purchases, so we don't want to get caught up in that. But just so the board knows, and if any of you guys ever want to sit in on the CBOC, you know, it's right before this meeting using the same link. So I will now ask if we can look at the minutes from the last meeting. And then I'll ask for a motion to approve.
There we go.
Okay. While those are being perused, I'll just ask also for the other board members to get a chance, drop by the school for the new boardroom, which is very, very nice, thanks to Dr. Marinucci, and I'm sure you've been following what's been going on in the paper, but Mr. Davis has demonstrated, or showed us, rather, the new sanitizing equipment that they have, and he made the most amazing spice cake for everybody at the last board meeting. That was the highlight of the meeting for me, but it was, please stop by and see the boardroom. It's really, really nice.
I'll wait till I go on vacation and pass out spice cake. See how it is.
I told him to pick that day, Miss Holmes.
I knew it was you.
All right. I'll now entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Can I make a request for a copy of the minutes? I didn't get a copy, and because I wasn't there the last meeting, I would just like to review those, but that's not too much to ask.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Then I would recommend, based on what Ms. Holmes asked Dr. Mary Lucia, I will then recognize a motion to approve the minutes with any revisions once they have been reviewed by the board members.
So moved.
Second it.
All right, it's been moved by Dr. Fletcher, seconded by Mrs. Robinson, that we accept the minutes from our last board meeting in July with any revisions after they've been reviewed by the board members. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. And I don't know that we have any public comment at this time. Anyone? Do we have any comments from any board members? If anybody would like to say anything? If not, we can move on to the finances. And this is important because, as you guys know, Bill Bentz will no longer be making a report. Dr. Marinucci and the staff, and I think specifically Ms. Postles, have taken over the duties of running the budget. So there's going to be a different form. So we'll spend some time talking about that today. And if you could forward us a copy of these as well, Michelle.
Absolutely. So, okay. So here we go. All right. Let me slide. Okay, so to start with, here is we adjusted the formatting slightly of the reports. They have all of the same content in them, but to make them a little easier to use and to work with for Mrs. Hudson and I on the budgeting side, we're looking at, we broke out so that the FY and the appropriation are not included in the description. So if you look at a one from last meeting or something, you'll notice some formatting changes for the most part, but that's really what's changed. On this report, you'll also notice that some items are red. Red just was a note to us that was an estimated number and not an actual number. So a couple of things to point out on this first report. The homeless transportation line, they preload that number based on what we received this last year. So we received about $2,700 last year, so they preloaded $1,350. That's to help pay the charter share of any transportation for students that qualify for homeless transportation support. Another change would be the charter transportation and operations. So if you look at any other report, you'll not see charter transportation. That is a brand new line that used to be embedded in operations. So now it's broken out, and it's broken out just for charters because there was some legislation. There was a lot of conversation around that if a charter school didn't use all of their transportation funds for student transportation, that they would have to give back that money. So we're definitely going to keep a watchful eye on our transportation spending, and make sure that we're using the money in an effective and efficient way, but making sure that we're using that money up for our student transportation as well. Which also I want to point out that if you look at our operations amount for last year, and you were trying to kind of compare apples to apples, you would then add the $2,411,491 with the $239,115 to get the total operations amount. So just so that you know, that transportation number used to be a part of operations. Now it's a separate piece. Then we have the regular, these other funding lines are the same funding lines that we've had. They're sorted by fiscal year, and they're the same funding lines that we've had in our past year. Let's see. There's two here that have negative numbers. It's not letting me highlight now for some. There we go. Wow. Can't highlight that one. Okay. There's two from fiscal year 20 that have negative numbers in the balance. And that's just because we had people's salaries sitting in those lines. And it just hit a salary before we had a chance to switch it over. We put it on the sheet so that it was fully transparent. Obviously, we're going to fix that balance and charge it to the FY21 appropriation of the same type. So that will be fixed for next month's report. Food service and local funds carryover. So we started the year this month with $72,691 in food service carryover. That's a much larger amount than the food service carryover has traditionally been. And in part, that's because the Academy typically has had to charge expenses to the food service in order to just make it through the year. We didn't have to do that at all this past year, but we are going to charge certain expenses that are allowable expenses to the food service carryover just in order to most effectively maximize our finances as we move forward. We intended to do that, but we just never got the chance to do that shift in funding this past year. So then you have our local funds carryover. So we ended the year with $275,253.36 in our local funds, and that amount carries over. Now you'll notice if you look over that those lines are grayed out, because we don't plan to show then any expenditures and balance of that money anymore. On this sheet, that money now shows in the this year funds, because that's how the money ends up flowing. It shows now that it moved already. There is no FY20 on our reports for these. They're just carryovers. They show carryovers, and then they move into the next year appropriation. So we're going to show them on the form the way that they actually show in the report. $170,000 for the budget for food service is a complete estimate. It's based on what we believe it will be, but again, it's an estimated expense. Our Academy has grown considerably, and last year's expenses were not accurate because we didn't have food service for a good part of the year. So we're basing this on what we believe to be an accurate number, but we're prepared to adjust this number should we need to. Local funds is also an estimated number. It's a low estimate because we are still waiting to hear what the local school district spending was. We know that some districts became very conservative with their funds as the school year ended and with COVID going on. So we wanted to make sure that we were conservative on our budget of our revenue and our expenditures at the same time. So then if you go down, you'll see the CARES Act. We have received our FY20 regular CARES Act funds of $157,430. We have not yet received the $35,000. There's a TBD on the appropriation because that money hasn't yet been loaded. But we do know that we are getting that $35,000. And what we are doing with that is we've actually created a remote learning position. We put one of our last year teachers into that position just as a support to our students that are learning remotely. She's been phenomenal in that role. And so that is definitely a smart way to spend it. She's been super supportive of the staff as well. There is going to be a third funding line that gets added for CARES Act because there's a third CARES Act fund. We don't yet know that amount or what that line is called, so that hasn't been added, but our actual funds total will increase once we get that money. And we're also looking at some additional funding opportunities that are out there. So we're looking at increasing our revenue again. You'll notice that there is nothing listed for Title II and Title IV. That's because it's all included in Title I. Title I, we really don't get $249,693, but what we were able to do is you're allowed to combine your title funds into one big pocket of money, which is what we've done, and that allows us to use that to support the cost of our paraprofessionals and additional needs for our academy. And then IDEA Part C, that again is just an estimated amount. We haven't received our consolidated funds for this year. We're still in, we're in the back and forth stages with the Department of Education on getting that finalized. But total $4.5 million. And we are basing this on our current enrollment, which is 319 students as of today. Does anyone have any questions on this sheet?
Dr. Mary Mucci.
Yes.
Could you please make that a little larger for me? I see the numbers, but I don't see them clearly.
Thank Did that you. Help? You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
This is Dr. Yes. Fletcher. I'm looking at the report, and I'm just feeling a little uncomfortable with a lot of the radical changes in the presentation style that we're used to seeing. So when you say you combine things and I don't see them, might be helpful if you could have emailed this to me or to us. So we have a document in front of us. So if you see I made this change and this is where it came from.
Sure.
Yeah, this is probably even a better report in terms of, but I honestly don't get it.
Okay. So you just need to see it in advance. That makes sense.
Yeah, see it in advance so that I can see, because the change between the last style of reporting that we use, the way we see the download forms, where money is, where you say you don't want carryover money, you put it in a different section. Those are radical shifts. Those are really radical shifts, and it's probably a good style for you in terms of presenting it. I just don't have a comfort level of seeing where our money is and how it has changed or moved around, because that's a significant amount of money. $4.5 million is a big jump.
Yes, it is.
So it is definitely different than what it was before. So that means, is that a direct factor of formatting changes, state law changes allows you to combine things together, or what?
No, so Dr. Fletcher, to make it a little more clear, on our funding reports prior, all of our federal funds weren't listed, and I've now listed everything together. So it's the same format.
Okay.
The sheet is the same. What I changed on here is instead of this saying homeless transportation up here, and then having FY21-05149 all in one place, I just broke it out into three columns. So you can see the FY21, then the 05149, and then homeless transportation. Does that make sense?
a little better, but I there was a lot that you presented in the earlier part that shifted and changed. So it's not just this sheet, it was the prior sheets too. You gave me an opportunity to say something at this point, so I'm seeing something
over all of it. Okay. So I'll go to the next sheet then. Because this is the only sheet I've shown you so far. So the next sheet is our general operating budget. This is our expenditures. So this sheet shows our account codes. It shows the description. It shows our tentative budget, how much we spent, the balance, and the percent expended. So we want to be around 8% expended. And you can see in most places we're there. So you can see in the salaries we're at 9.9%. Part of that is we did a payout with we paid out Marianne's vacation and sick leave. We did put a small amount in the budget for substitute teachers, although we're not necessarily looking at paying for substitute teachers. I think for the most part, we're going to be able to cover that internally. Then we have a small amount for extra pay, for extra responsibilities. We have the teachers, the school administration, custodian, and food service workers. Then we have the other employment costs. And then we have all the contracted services. So all of these categories are exactly the same as they were. Supplies and materials, and then the grand total. So the grand total of the 4.5 matches the same grand total before. And here what I want to point out is that we are able to have a contingency reserve of $509,000 the way we've budgeted. Does anyone have any questions on this?
No.
Okay. And at this point, we're at 7.1% overall on our budget. And we're looking, we're going to maintain a very watchful eye on our budget, all of our account codes, all of our categories, just as we have this past year. We're going to maintain that same watchful eye as we move forward. And then looking at the web report is the same as it was. It's just a little bit larger than it was so that it actually fits on two pages instead of one because my vision has gotten worse over the past 6 months, and I think it just made it a little easier to fit. It was really hard to fit everything onto one sheet of paper, so it just spreads onto two. But this, again, shows all of our different funding lines. It shows all of our state funds. It shows our carryover, as well as all of our local funds. It shows all of our federal funds. Oops. And then it shows the summary, showing the salaries, utilities, lease, our transportation costs, food service, textbook, instructional supplies, maintenance and custodial services, which we did increase and put some additional money in there for additional costs that might come with the cleaning supply increase due to COVID. And then the contingency, again, is the $509,000. Does anyone have any questions on that?
No, I was just gonna ask, and I don't know if you're going to cover it in your principal's report or your head of school report about the raise for the teachers.
Yes, so we did in the budget for salaries and benefits. I did calculate in on the salary side to allow for another increase for the salary for our staff. Again, we want to make sure that we're able to support maintaining a really strong staff, and we do have really amazing people here I think they truly appreciated getting a raise this past November. We've talked to them about not being able to do anything at this moment, but that we're looking at being able to, once we have confirmed our student enrollment and have more of a definite on our budget, that we want to be able to give back to our staff again in the form of compensation so that we can keep competitive in the form of salaries. I think keeping that competitive nature is super important. And in having, you know, we're able to do the competitive nature of the salaries and benefits, as well as maintaining a contingency that continues to grow. And we've also been able to implement a brand new ELA and math curriculum that is of a 5-star standard for all of our students, as well as bringing Chromebooks to every one of our students while really doing well financially. So it's been very exciting to see all of this come forward.
Dr. Mary Newton?
Yes. Yes.
How will you determine the salary distribution?
So it's a salary scale. There is an actual, it's just based on a straight percentage scale. So we're looking at the state salary and then a direct percentage. So we've got three tiers. So there's a 20%. A 25% and a 30% of the state salary scale.
So that's based on years and degrees? And,
correct.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions on the finance report? Okay. Hearing none. I'll now entertain a motion to accept the finance report as of.
I move that we accept the financial report with the necessary corrections, with any necessary corrections.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Ms. Kamajis just gave a second if you didn't hear her.
All right, so Ms. Comedy's and Ms. Combs seconded. And so with the necessary corrections, as Mrs. Robinson stated, I would just add, Dr. Manderson, will you send that out to Dr. Fletcher with the board? I was in the meeting, so I understood everything that was happening, but if you could just let us know what you've changed or what the new format is, so the board
absolutely absolutely
with Dr. Fletcher's request. All right, all in favor?
Aye. Okay.
Aye.
No one's in favor.
We had to wait for everybody to get off mute, but I did hear Ms. Holmes, Mrs. Robinson. So the report is accepted. And now we will move on to, and I gotta look at, do you have the agenda back up?
Yep, I'm trying. Where's it? It keeps giving me, there we go. Sorry, it's.
No problem.
Where did it go now? Okay.
Alrighty, and so now we'll move to Dr.
Okay, so we have had, I'll tell you what, we were nerves rolling up into yesterday. Walking out the day before the kids came, I know Miss Postles and I pretty much work the same schedule. We get here close to the same time and we leave at the same time almost every day. And we walked out and looked at each other and we said, it's here, tomorrow. They're coming. I don't know about this. Are we ready? And we decided we were. And I'll tell you what, we were ready. So it was scary. It was scary to wonder if we missed anything because we were afraid of doing anything wrong. This was a big thing. One of the biggest things I think we've ever done in our educational career, especially when so many people were not opening their doors. But then, you know, yesterday morning you see the buses pulling in and you see the parents pulling in and so it was go time, and we had our system in place, we had our thermometers ready and our face shields and our masks on, and the kids started coming off the buses and the kids started coming out of the cars, and we just had smiles everywhere, and you could just feel the energy change again in the building as the kids came in, and it was like everything just felt right again. It just felt so right, and it just was like we did the right thing. And I'll tell you, we kept our parents informed as much as we could by posting on ClassDojo, which is our communication tool that we use for throughout the school for all of our families. And we just kept letting them know, and we got a lot of feedback from our families thanking us for keeping them informed throughout the day of how the day went. We had the newspaper here first thing in the morning, so I'm thinking, oh, please let this go well because we're gonna have this all on record. And then midday we had the reporter here going around talking to the students in the classrooms, talking to us, and we've been able to answer every question that's been asked. I feel like we've really thought it through, and our teachers are just doing an amazing, amazing job. You just can't help but smile as you walk through our classrooms and you see what's happening. Teachers that weren't as comfortable with technology have just gotten it figured out. You go into a classroom and you see a screen with students on it learning from home, and you see the students in the classroom with their Chromebooks out, and you just see everyone engaged in learning. So the students are happy, the parents are happy, and things just have gone really well. We have our new math curriculum came here later than they said it would. It finally showed up yesterday, but we've had it available electronically to our staff, so we're ready to go with that. We've already had our ELA curriculum, so we're ready to go with that, and that's one thing that's beautiful about this academy is it's all hands on deck whenever we need to be, wherever we need to be, and everyone has really shown that. So it's been phenomenal, and I wouldn't want to do it anywhere else, and I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else. So, and I think that's kind of been the mantra that we've all had. So, this team is amazing. So, that's the report.
The report from the pictures from the newspaper were great, and I know there are a lot of parents all over the country that are reluctant to send their kids in, but from what I could see both during the summer and from being on some of these COVID task force calls with the Charter School Network, AOD has their stuff together, and I can tell you guys that.
Yes.
From the board, I would not I'd be remiss if I didn't say that the staff, you guys have all worked very hard to ensure the safety of the students. And I think that's testament to the fact that parents feel comfortable sending their kids in because a lot of parents don't. So I'll just echo that. Ms. Robinson, you were about to say something else.
I apologize for interrupting. I want to say the same thing. I was just glowing this morning when I opened up my newspaper and I saw our school and our students and our administration. My heart, you know, I must have smiled for almost a half an hour looking at that. I felt so good about it. And I want to say to you and the staff at the Academy of Dover, congratulations on a job. Well done. That was a great opening. And I want you to know that everyone always feels a nervousness at the beginning, the first day of school. It's always there. I don't care how many years you've done it. You are so nervous on that first day. I have a question, Dr. Marinucci.
Yes.
You said, I thought I heard earlier that there were 318, how many students did you say were enrolled?
At this moment, we have 319.
Okay, 319. So, out of those 319, how many are actually attending in the building as opposed to those who are doing it remotely or virtually?
So it continues to shift, which is silly to say after just 2 days, but I will tell you, yesterday, during the day, we actually had 5 students that their parents reached out and said, this just isn't for us, this home learning. Our kids are coming in. And then today we had some more. At this moment, over the past 2 days, we've had 127 students in the Academy of Learning.
Amazing. So that's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, it's just awesome to watch it happening.
Great. And the teachers feel all comfortable, they're ready, they I heard you say something about the teachers. Some of the teachers are familiarizing themselves more with the technology piece. Of doing it with the computers, the classroom learning, and all, as well as the remote learning. Teachers are feeling more comfortable about doing that. You said you had a few.
Yeah, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn my computer around so that Ms. Kamaji's, being one of our teachers, can really speak to that. Oh, okay. She's going to, actually, I'm not turning my computer around. She's coming around here.
It says on the screen here that you are Debbie Postal.
That's because my computer was giving trouble, and so it's really I'm using Debbie's laptop.
I'm just saying. Dr. Marinucci. Yes. We'll just move to the teacher's report.
Yeah. It's been pretty cool. Pretty awesome, actually. Like, yesterday, with time, it's getting easier. I know it's crazy to say that, but it's only day two. But, like, yesterday, it was, like, we were nervous, and then it's, like, amplified with, like, digital learning, and, like, but it's getting there. The parents that are at home with the kids are super, super supportive, super patient, super understanding, and they're trying their best to support what we're doing in the classroom at home. So it's really phenomenal to see them being so hands-on.
Great.
At home.
Great job.
Let me just interrupt you real quick. Dr. Fletcher, I sent a text, so thank you so much.
Okay, sorry. I got 2 meetings going on at the same time. I do.
No problem. Thank you. We'll continue on. We'll see you at next month.
Yes, indeed.
Go ahead, Ms. Cummings. I apologize for the interruption.
No, you're fine. I think I've heard that from everybody that I've been talking to, that it's been like an adjustment period, but at the same time, it's like with anything, you know, with more practice, you get better at it and kind of go with the flow.
Right. Good.
I have a question. In terms of the classroom environment, so if you have kids in the classroom, how is that working, you know, with respect to the kids who are attending by Zoom or WebEx or whatever platform you use? I guess it's this Google platform. Is that what you use?
We use Google Classroom.
Okay, and so is there like a huge laptop or somewhere? Is there like a huge screen so that the kids can see the other kids? Like, how does that work?
It has to be hooked up to the smart board, so I use my laptop on my desk. I just turn it around and face it to the kids in the class, and then they're able to see the kids at home on the smart board, and when they show anything, they're able to see it on the smart board, so it's magnified for the kids.
Gotcha.
In person.
Yeah, and most of the teachers are doing that same model, where they've got the learners at home are being shown on the smart board, so the kids in the classroom can see the kids at home,
and the kids at home can see the kids in the classroom. We've actually suggested to the teachers that they have an extra Chromebook set up in their classroom so that they have that extra angle for the kids to see the different spot from the classroom. So we've kind of played around with some different ways of setting it up to make it where it's more accessible for everyone.
And so I guess I have these little cards that are super helpful that have the symbols for, like, mute, unmute, camera on, camera off, because I have first graders, so they don't know. I'm like, hit the unmute button so I can hear you, and they're like, I don't know what that is. So I just show them, like, here, look at this.
Right. And so I guess if they're at home and they need to, like, raise their hand so they can get in touch with you, has that been, you know, rather seamless, or do you have to be paying attention to your laptop for that?
Well, in first grade, your head's on a swivel anyway, so.
You're what?
Yeah, on a swivel, so
I'm
constantly, like, looking at the class, looking at the both ways. But they do, or sometimes at home, they'll say, Miss Comedies, when they're waiting, but you got to figure out where it's coming from.
Well, kudos to you guys, I mean, to all of you. That's no easy task to take on. You know, regardless of which grade, you know, and the younger grades, I would imagine, you know, require a lot more attention already. And then to add, you know, almost like you're teaching two classrooms in one, you know, you have a classroom of kids at home and then a classroom of kids in the classroom. And to be able to manage all of the kids at one time and be able to meet all of the needs. I mean, I know that's no easy task. So, I mean, again, kudos to you and congratulations on a great start.
Lunch is given in the classroom.
Yes, we have
breakfast
and lunch. We have a cart that's going around and delivering breakfast and lunch in the classroom.
Okay. How do they do that at home? They just take a break during the lunch period, or?
Yeah, we have we've posted a schedule for the learning period. And actually, like, some of our teachers have put a lunch bunch schedule up so that, because the kids are eating in the classroom, that then they can have the screen go on so the kids that are at home can kind of have lunch at the same time with the students in the classroom.
Okay, good. That's good.
That's great. Good job. Well done.
All right, so thank you so much, Ms. Comedies, and if you could just, again, as we always do, let your fellow teachers know that the board sends its regards and kudos. I know this is kind of like, all of this is a work in progress as we all get used to, and I refuse to say the new normal, but as we get used to this new thing that we have to deal with, we definitely appreciate you guys. You are on the front line, and, you know, you watch the news any given day, and you see now teachers are just that COVID has just given some school districts just another way to not appreciate teachers. So we're glad that you guys are doing your best at the academy, and we do appreciate you. So, and we're glad that you guys are there with our students, whether they're in the classroom or at home. We know it's a tough job all around, but please let your fellow teachers know that the board is very proud of each and every one of you.
Dr. Mary, I have a question. I have another question.
Yes.
When it comes to the September 30th count, at this point, are we showing 319 total for students in school and students remotely? Are we showing 319? Because
yes,
I want to be able to show that 319 on September the 30th, because that's how the money starts rolling in.
Yeah, so the state moved the unit count date. It's not September 30th this year. It's November. Yeah, it's November 13th. But, And we do not plan to have the number be 319. We plan to have the number be 330. So, We've had more enrolling today. So we continue to have more students enrolling, and we plan to just keep on with the enrollment. We've reached out to the students on our waiting list, and they're now reaching out to us. So we will be full.
Good. I would like to point out that Dr. Marinucci, when you came in last year at the beginning, you said what? We will have a.
I said we will have a waiting list.
That's what you said, and you have delivered. So I just want to point that out. I mean, if anybody can pull this off, it's you. I mean, I know those kids
have good
hands, and I mean, the state of Delaware is seeing it. And so, I mean, eventually, I think you guys, you know, you're going to be in a position where you're going to be the model, you know, to follow.
Right.
I think that's awesome.
And thank you.
That's what I said today in my email, that we are going to be, we're going to be an example for the world to watch.
Absolutely.
Especially the state.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
That's better than cool. It's excellent. It's par excellent. So.
Yes.
It is.
Great news.
Yeah, state model. And I mean, that's, we've come a long way through many battles.
But just tolls and snares.
That guy, you took the words out of my mouth.
We have overcome.
let me put my foot on you.
But no, you guys have done a yeoman's job at getting us to where, as you promised, Dr. Marinucci, and the staff as well. So when I showed my wife the article this morning, she's like, the kids are so cute. great job. I noticed that Dr. E is not with us tonight, so we'll forego the PTO report. But I didn't know if you guys had any information from parents, either Dr. Marinucci or Ms. Postles or Ms. Comedy's, anything, the concerns that the parents may have that they have shared with you. And you've said some things already, but...
I mean, not really. They're just getting the hang of things, learning to log in and learning how to navigate just like we all are.
Okay.
Most of them have been very patient and understanding. Like, it's been amazing. Like, normally, you know, sometimes parents aren't happy when they have problems, obviously. And then this is like, they know that everybody, we're all trying our hardest, so... When they call or email or text, it's, you know, most of the time it's like, can you help me? I'm having a problem. And then they're so appreciative.
Okay, excellent. Go ahead,
Mrs. I was just going to ask, is there a plan to kind of keep that organization, that platform moving, you know, in terms of the PTO? They might not be meeting face-to-face, but, like, is there, you know, a virtual platform that's available? Or, like, was that offered, you know, how do you guys plan to further that? And only ask because I remember starting with the first PTO, and so I'd like to keep that going, you know.
I think it's super important, and I think right now we have an opportunity to engage and involve more parents through this model of Google Classroom. So one of the things that we created was an Academy Families Classroom in Google Classroom. Which allows us the ability to post things, to share things, to have meets through there. So I think this actually, you know, we're kind of looking at this as, okay, so the pandemic part of this hasn't been so great.
Right.
But it has provided for us it has forced us to look at different opportunities and ways to do things differently. And some of it, I think, is going to be ever-changing in a beneficial way. So it's caused us to think outside of the box. It's caused us to be innovative. And I think the beauty of it is that the people that work here at the Academy, that's our thing. Like, we are innovative. We like to think outside the box. Give us the challenge, and we're going to come up with a solution. And that's what we've done. So having an Academy Families site where we can have that communication and that check, Having, like, the PTO shouldn't just be a once-a-month conversation. It shouldn't be where we have a couple parents that come in once a month. It should be an ongoing, regular conversation where parents get involved as they're able to, and where we're involved as we're able to. So let's look at everyone's skill set, and let's come together to do everything we can to support the academy.
Yeah, and hopefully in the spring, as things return to normal, I know, Dr. Marinucci, before you came, we had a fair 2 springs ago, and even Mrs. Holmes' daughter, my daughter, came and volunteered. It was a big thing. And a lot of people stopped at the school because, at that time, people didn't really even know much about AOD or some of the negative things that they read. Or heard about in the community, so we definitely want to keep that legacy going. But I appreciate those comments, Ms. Holmes. And I think our parents have a lot to share, for sure. All right, anything else before we break? Did the board have any announcements? Okay, anybody on your end, Dr. Marinucci?
No.
And I know it looks like I'm not looking at you guys, but I have a bigger screen because my eyesight is getting worse. My screen is not in front of the camera, so I am definitely paying attention. So for the teachers in the room, I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
All right, hearing nothing else, I'll now entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right, it's been moved by Mrs. Robinson.
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Holmes, that we adjourn the August 2020 Academy meeting at 7:02 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are off the record. Thank you all for attending.